its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Summer is a busy time for archaeologists at Michigan State University. Construction projects on campus give them the opportunity to explore what's long been buried under the surface of the MSU campus. Joining us today to talk about what they're digging into this year are MSU Professor of Anthropology Lynn Goldstein and Katie Myers, an MSU graduate student who's serving and as a campus archaeologist this summer. Lynn and Katie, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you aboard. Sure, most of the work this summer is in the West Circle Drive area, where there's lots of construction in front of the MSU Library and the Beale Gardens. What might you have been hoping you would turn up there, Lynn Goldstein?
Well, what we had hoped is that that area was used a lot during the history of MSU, and Professor Beale used the campus as his laboratory.
Yeah.
And he, at one point, got very annoyed about the fact that the river was, and sort of tributaries off it, were flooding his garden. So what he did is he rerouted the river. And the area that they're working in should be the location of where his altering the earth, let's say, took place. We know he did it, but we don't know how he did it or what exactly he did. So this gives us an opportunity to really explore that and to try to figure out what Beale actually did and potentially what effects it had.
Extraordinary. When would that have happened? When would Professor Beale have rerouted the Red Cedar River? Do you know?
I think it might have been, Katie, do you know the exact date?
It was 1884 was the first time that he started really changing the river.
Right, but he did it later also.
So he did this more than once.
He had to fix it.
Okay. Nature has a way of getting in the way of the best laid plans here, I guess. But how big of a project was this? How much of the river did he reroute? Do we know that, Lynn?
I don't think we know. Well, that's the point. We don't know exactly.
Okay.
We know that his goal was to make sure that his garden didn't flood.
Okay. And Katie Myers, what can you? How have you been involved in this project so far this summer?
This summer I've been in charge of a team of graduate and undergraduate students that are actually working with the construction crews to excavate and mitigate these projects to make sure that they aren't disturbing anything archaeological, historical, prehistoric.
What is the role, if any, Lynn, of campus archaeology during a deconstruction project like the tearing down of Morrill Hall, which is now underway? Are you involved in that at all?
Well, we're involved in it only indirectly. I mean, because of safety concerns, you can't really have people running around while they're taking apart a building. But we've been photo documenting it, and one of the interesting things is that it is possible that there may be prehistoric sites on the place where Morrill Hall stands. So that's also another interest of ours. So we want to document the fact that this historic and important building is going down, and at the same time we also want to see if there's anything else that might be there.
And how late into the summer season, Katie Myers, how late into the season will you be working on the West Circle Drive area here this summer?
We'll be continuing to excavate and survey pretty much the entire summer. They don't actually finish the project until the end of August, right before school starts, so we'll be following with them.
And have you started? Or?
Yes, we actually started working with them in March when it was still frozen outside.
Okay.
So we've been following the construction throughout campus as it started since then.
And what do we know about what was at the area where you're digging? Was this the site of Professor Beale's residence or of his garden or what?
Currently, the site that we're looking at, there used to be a bridge there. So in between the library and the music practice building, there was a creek that Beale had filled in so that it wouldn't flood his gardens. And there used to be a bridge over that creek. So that's what we're trying to find, is how did he alter the land there? Can we find this bridge? Can we find how they filled it in?
How interesting. Lynn Goldstein, can you share some highlights of past digs on campus? I know you and I have spoken in the past, and a lot of this digging is focused on the north end of campus, which is where Michigan State University really started. What's been found so far?
Well, you know, we found a variety of different things that have been unexpected. And of course, that's an important part of archaeology. You know, people think that if something is written down, that becomes everything we know. And of course, what happens is people don't write everything down. It depends on the person, and they don't necessarily, if they think something is so common that everybody knows how to do it or what was done, they just don't write about it. So we find the information that people don't write about as well as things they do. So we found, for example, we found a prehistoric site that has never been documented across the street from the library. And that dates about 1500 to 3000 BC. We also found this little building last summer, which was a boiler house. MSU was expanding very rapidly, and they really didn't have the power in terms of heat and so on to keep up with the expansion. So that in the 1895, there were like four or five different heating systems, and there was a call to have it be coordinated. And that eventually happened in 1905. But between 1900 and 1905, they built Morrill Hall, and they also built the new dairy right near it. And so this little building was the boiler house to service those two new buildings. But then by 1905, this bigger coordinated center was put over by where the administration building is, and it was taken offline. So people forgot about it.
Katie Myers, you were good enough to bring in a tray full of artifacts here, probably two dozen things. We got an axe head. We've got all kinds of things. Anything in this tray from the prehistoric period that Lynn referred to, or is this all 19th century stuff?
We do. We have a few prehistoric points and some flakes that would have come off tools as they were being made that were found near Beaumont Tower.
We're also looking at an old knife that looks like it survived being underground for a long, long time. A lot of rusty-looking things, but we've got some post-industrial objects as well. We've got some bone. What appear to be bones here? What are those?
Yes, these are some animal bones, and what's interesting about them is that you can clearly see that they were butchered, and they were butchered by students, which we can tell because the butcher marks aren't that good. They're kind of learning how to do it.
Amateur evidence there. We've got a pipe here as well. Tell us about that. A small, what looks to be 19th century pipe.
Yeah, we actually find pipes a lot on campus, which is interesting because they weren't allowed to smoke during the period that we find these pipes. So that's kind of an interesting thing about campus.
Is archaeology a part of the planning process, Lynn Goldstein, when a big dig is planned on campus? I know the project on West Circle Drive is an example, but lots of projects require digging.
Yes, they do. And our campus archaeology is part of that. So, for example, the work that is associated with EFRIB, in that regard, archaeology is legally required. But MSU has done a pretty extraordinary thing in supporting archaeology whenever they do any kind of ground disturbance. And that's extraordinary. Most places would never consider that.
And Katie Myers, quickly, what triggered your fascination with archaeology to the point where you wanted to study it in college?
I guess I just grew up with parents that were antique dealers, so I really fell in love with artifacts and the past, and this is a chance for me to find my own artifacts and help create the past or learn more about the past.
It is fascinating stuff. We thank you both for joining us. Katie Myers is an MSU graduate student who is serving as campus archaeologist this summer, and we also thank MSU professor of anthropology Lynn Goldstein. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.